Sagemont Church is a gathering of Christian believers in the southeast area of Houston, Texas. Today's message is from our senior pastor, Dr. John Morgan.
Now today, we're bringing a series to a close. I've been over at the Awakened Service for 2 weeks, and Brother Wade has been in here, and he has done an outstanding job in his preaching. I've enjoyed his messages, listened to them, and we had some good services out in the Awakened. But we have been doing a series, The Dawning of a New Day. We've been talking about praising and worshiping and preaching and teaching. And today, I'm going to bring the series to a conclusion as we think about those things. And we could add it to this, but I've tried to pick out the main things that are imperative if a church is to be the church that God has intended it to be. And today, I'm going to speak on the subject, God's greatest attribute. God's greatest attribute. He has passed this on to his kids. He has taught us how to worship, how to praise, how to preach, how to teach. And today, I want to show you that he also taught us that it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. It is strictly a coincidence from my timing that it's on the day we vote our budget. I do not think it was a surprise to the Lord that I would preach on this subject today, because there's so much joy in talking about giving. And I want to show you that that was God's greatest attribute that he passed on to his children. If we could just understand and block out what the world has taught us and see what God has taught us. So would you stand as I read from Genesis chapter 1 if you're comfortable in standing? If not, just remain seated and you will. By the way, you'll have 5 different sizes of chairs to pick from out in the new auditorium, all right? So we don't have any with a recliner. I know that some of you would prefer one where you jerk a lever and it would go back, but that won't happen. But anyway, listen to the scripture. You've heard it many times. I want you to think about God's greatest attribute. In the 26th verse of Genesis chapter 1, in the 26th verse of Genesis chapter 1, and God said, "Let us make man in our own image, in our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every thing, creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created him, created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, "Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." And God said, "Behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth and every fowl of the air and everything that creepeth upon the earth, therein there is life. I have given every green herb for meat." And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made. And behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Now I want you to quote for me John 3:16 out of the New Testament. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Now, I want you to hear one other New Testament passage before you sit down, Luke 6:38. The scripture says, "Give, and it'll be given unto you. Good measure pressed down and shaken together and running over shall the Lord give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it'll be measured to you again." God's greatest attribute. It is more blessed to give than it is to receive. Would you be seated? If there was one word that would describe God best, I would have to use the word a giver. You name the subject that is good, he was the giver. For instance, the Bible says in Genesis 1:1 that God created, he gave to all of us the heavens and the earth. It says in verse 6, God gave the land. It says in verse 10 that God gave the seas. It says in verse 11, God gave us grass, fruit, trees. Verse 16, God gave us the sun, the moon, and the stars. In verse 20, it says God gave us the birds, the fish, and I added onto that the shrimp. Just personal preference there. Verse 24, God gave us livestock, steaks, wildlife. God gave us that. It's interesting. You know, the government took the eagle and the sportsmen took the turkeys. Just think about how many eagles you've seen and how many turkeys you've seen, and you'll appreciate sportsmen more, that they take better care of stuff than the government does, okay? Verse 27, God gave man to take care of it and enjoy it. And then in verse 29 through 31, which I just read to you, here's what it says. I gave you everything for you to enjoy and to take care of. But as I give it to you, I give you a responsibility. To whom much is given, much is required. That scripture is either God's word or it's a lie from the lips of carnal man. When we read in 1 John 4:17, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. It is extremely difficult for Bible-believing churches that are committed to the teaching of all of God's word as the inspired, inerrant, and infallible word of God to teach truth about subjects like giving when the world has polluted it so much. And much of that pollution has come from so-called religious organizations that have taken God's word and have twisted it not to benefit God, but to benefit themselves. The Bible says everything was made by him and for him. And nothing was made that is exception of that by God. The prosperity gospel today is the antithesis of the scripture. And I want you to hear me very close today, and I preach with you with a broken heart. And those of you that watch by television, you can flip through the dials of your TV. You can flip through the dials of the radio. And you will hear what has been called the prosperity gospel. It is very difficult for me to say some of the things I'm going to say. But what I'm fixing to tell you, I will sit down with you and back it from the Word of God. God's Word does not teach prosperity gospel in the sense that if you will give God a dime, that he will give you a dollar for you to enjoy any way you choose to enjoy it. That is not the Word of God. And in a world of fallen man, it is easier to create doctrine than it is to obey doctrine. It is easy to take something and use it for your benefit instead of the benefit for which it was intended when God said, I will supply all need according to my riches and glory through my Son Christ Jesus, and you are the stewards of it, and I will flow my wealth through you, but you are to do whatever you do in word or in deed to my glory, not to your personal preferences and selfish desires. Proverbs 16:25 says, there is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. The prosperity gospel is not the gospel. of Jesus Christ. When we come to Christ, we give up our right to ourself. We die. Old things pass away and all things become new. When we come to Christ and are born again, the number one thing in our life is to glorify God and to do His will and not our will. We're not to go, and as I talk to you about prayer, not to pray as the heathen do, which is all about bless me, bless me, bless me, bless me, bless me, bless me. But we stop and say, no, God, no. If I live, I live unto the Lord. If I die unto the Lord. Whether I live or whether I die, I'm yours. I am a vessel in your hand. I am the one through which you are to live your life here on the earth. And when people see me and the way I do everything I do, including the way I handle the material resources you put in my hand, may they see Jesus and the heart of God. In John 3:30, John the Baptist said, he must increase. And guess who's to decrease? I must decrease. In Colossians 1:18, in all things, he, who's the he? God must have what? Preeminence. Preeminence. Not leftover, preeminence. First things. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by in the storehouse as God has prospered you or entrusted to you his wealth. Everything we do is to be done to the glory of God. The prosperity gospel is all about me. It's all about me, mine, and what I'm doing. That's not the gospel. Prosperity preachers always preach that the way you, listeners and watchers, and if you will give me what I want, God will give you what you want. That's not the gospel, folks. That is not the gospel. Have you ever heard a prosperity gospel preacher ever in your life ever say, listen, I want you to give, you know, if you really love the Lord, I want you to plant the seed, and when God prospers it, I want you to give it to the preacher that's on the other channel. Have you ever heard that one time in your life? Have you ever heard, you know, do this, plant the seed, and send it to my brother who's struggling more because our ministry has millions and they're struggling and they're in an area that we need to go. So plant your seed, get your money, and send it to the preacher on the other channel. I'm afraid you haven't heard that. How about the one, just give a little bit to God and he'll just dump it on you? I mean, all you got to do, it's better investment than Wall Street. It's better investment than gold. Just give it to God a little bit and plant your seed, and you're going to have so much more money. You're going to have more money than the people that won the earthly lottery if you'll just begin to play the heavenly lottery. That's not giving. That is manipulating. That is a selfish approach to a biblical principle. God says, if you will give, I will give to you in order that you can give, because you need money to carry out my will on earth, not your plan for your prosperity. And I will continue to supply your need according to my riches in glory. Brothers and sisters and ladies and gentlemen, you better be careful about this positive thinking stuff. You better be careful about positive affirmation. That think right and it'll be right. And you can be whatever that you want to be. I told the young people the other day, that's not true. Some of you would want to be a horse, you know. You can't be what you want to be, you know. You can only be what God wants you to be. And when you disobey God and don't want to be what he wants you to be, then you suffer the consequences for it. But this attitude, if it's going to be, it's up to me. If it's going to be, it's up to him. Because none of us know what another day is going to bring. None of us know. Rain still falls on the just and the unjust. Good people still hurt. Jesus himself suffered greatly. The Apostle Paul, his record of suffering is unmatched, but his obedience to the Lord was unparalleled. If I live, it's to his glory, Paul would say to you. When the heart gets pure, God will be glorified. When the heart gets pure, God will be the one that will get the attention, not us. Matter of fact, Ephesians 3:20 says he'll give exceeding abundantly above all that we think or ask. Does it ever surprise you when God trusts you with a great amount of money? You ever been shocked? I was just totally surprised. You're just not going to believe what happened. What happened to you? Well, I got this inheritance. I made this investment. It really paid off. Well, why do you think it paid off? Why do you think your business escalated? Why do you think that promotion came where finances were involved in it? Could it be that God is putting you a place of influence where what he has given to you can be used for his glory? Well, what's the answer to all this? Matthew 6:33 is very clear. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And his righteousness. What in the world is his righteousness? His righteousness is to do the will of the Father and to abstain from all appearance of evil and to sin not and to be as he was in this world. Even the scripture says, be perfect as I am perfect. Say, well, I hadn't been able to do that. I haven't either. But that's the goal. Our responsibility is to take what God gives us, time, talents, and substance, and use it for his glory. You know, the desire of our heart is to get what we want, so we'll twist the scripture any way that we possibly can to get it. It just amazes me when I watch some of this stuff on television and I hear guys take the scripture and just put it totally out of context, drop out phrases, add other phrases to come up to get you to send in money so that they can have a bigger jet or can have more luxurious living rather than to do it to the glory of God. Let me give you an example. 37th Psalm. Delight thyself in the Lord, and most people say, and he will give you the desires of your heart. You go read the 37th Psalm as it says that, and notice though what goes with it. Here's what goes with it. Trust in the Lord. Commit your ways unto the Lord. Rest in the Lord. Cease from anger. Wait on the Lord. And then he gives you the desires of your heart. Kind of different, isn't it? It's more than just, you know, my name is Jimmy and what are you going to give me? It's a little bit more than, when am I going to get my check? When is this seed going to plant? I plant them, they die. I plant them, and they die. And I plant them, and they die. I plant them on every television station. I plant them, they die. They plant them, they die. Let me tell you when they're going to come. Whenever you get on your knee and say, God, I came to this world with nothing. I'm going out with nothing. But I tell you what, if you'll bless me, I will guarantee you I will honor you with the first fruit of everything you ever give to me, exactly like you told me. And I will do it for your glory, not for my benefit. We pray, God, give us this day our daily bread. That's what God promises. Food, shelter, clothing. 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, the eyes of the Lord go to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of people whose heart is perfect toward him. One might convince the government that they're right, and there's a big word out there now, entitlement. Entitlement. Hey, let me tell you, the federal government's not the only one that has to deal with that word. God in heaven has to deal with it too, because there's too many Christians believe I'm entitled to it. I worked hard for this. I am entitled to all of this. No, you are blessed with it. You are entrusted with it. We are dead to our old life. We used to walk in the flesh, and now we walk in the spirit. You say, does that mean I can never have anything nice? No, it does not mean that at all. But when God gives you nice, use it to the glory of God. I had the privilege of being over in Arkansas about 3 years ago and spent 5 days with Don Soderquist. If you don't know who Don Soderquist is, he was Sam Walton's right arm for the entire time that Walmart started. He was there on day one, and he took Walmart from $1 billion to a 200 and some odd billion dollar company. Sam Walton's a born again believer, and so is Don Soderquist. Don teaches the corporate executives of the world how to operate business on godly principles. They come from every one of the big corporations of the world. One day he went to Ronnie Floyd, a pastor friend of mine, and he said, I want you to bring 12 of your preacher friends, and I want to donate to them what I sell to the world to try to teach them how to be effective in this generation. And I went to Arkansas. Folks, I went up to the biggest house you ever saw in your life on 100 acres of land. I mean, the queen would have thought that somebody had one up on her. I mean, it was an unbelievable place. And we went in, and man, I mean, and there's that gorgeous lake and all this kind of stuff. People are buying 100-foot lots. This guy owns 100 acres. But Mr. Soderquist wasn't there. You know, I said, well, I can't wait to meet him. Well, in about 3 hours, he drives up in a 10-year-old car, and he steps out. He had on white tennis shoes, a blue sport shirt, khaki pants, and they didn't really fit that good. And hadn't had a haircut, didn't look like, in a couple of weeks, or we're gone about 2 weeks late, and he walked in and thought, well, this guy's just coming out of the yard, and he begins, well, my name is Don Soderquist, blah, 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 blah. So real quickly on my story, we sat down with him. The first things out of his mouth was these words. He said, first of all, I want you to know this isn't my house. I don't live here. If you'd like to spend the night with me, you're welcome to go to my house. It's the same house that I moved into when I moved to Arkansas. And he said, we got one spare bedroom, and said, I think the heater's working in there, and if you want to go there, you can go with me. He said, let me tell you about this big house. He says, to impress the people of the world that I bring in here, this is what you got to do to get there, to go, what did you do do that? Just follow the Lord. This belongs to God. This is God's ministry. I just come over here to talk to people like I've come over here to talk to you, and I'll be going home to spend the night tonight, and I'll be back tomorrow. I thought, that is about as vivid an example I've ever seen. He said, this is not about me, but I want you to know the world is surprised. Let me tell you what, the world is always surprised when God has more money than they do. God has a way of showing, I am in the midst of this world. I created the gold and the silver and the oil and the gas and you name it. It's all about Him, and He gave it to us, entrusted it to us. 1 Corinthians 6:20 says, for you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify in your body. God, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You're bought, so glorify God in your body and in your spirit. God holds us accountable. And I want you to know it breaks God's heart to see people who claim to be Christians spend money on alcohol, tobacco, the lottery, wild entertainment, fireworks, internet, cell phones, iPods, pornography, disfiguring their bodies that are all the temple of God, and then expect God's people to provide their food, their shelter, and their clothing. Or to ask God, why didn't you bless me? Hey, some of those things I mentioned can be used to the glory of God. We know that. But I'm telling you, when people take what God gives and spend it on the world and then say, where's my food, where's my shelter, and where's my clothes? Something's wrong. You see, there's poor people and there's poor people. They're different. There's some that are poor because they don't know how to handle what's God's. There are others that are poor, and those are the ones the church needs to take care of all over the world. Starting right here. Right here. This church put a set of tires on the car of a widow woman this week with a single mom with two children that hadn't been able to come to church for several weeks, and I found out about it. Wants to come, trying to live for God. That's where the tires need to be bought. That's where the church needs to reach out, is to people that are wanting to glorify God, and they need to know that my God will supply my needs according to His riches and glory. I got a call this week, and I got a letter this week from Gerald White. Gerald's a new member of our church, and he and his wife, Lori, and he wrote me a letter, and he said, I just want to tell you, Pastor, what the Lord's done for me. He said, you know, I came to Jesus, I came to Sage Mount, I met the Lord, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. He said, I've got a little power washing business. And he said, I know with all those buildings and all those parking lots and getting ready and all, he said, if there's any way you'd let me bring my equipment and my people down and clean up the church property as a gift back to the Lord. I didn't send him a letter. He didn't sign any pledge card. The Holy Spirit said, such as I have, I got a power washer and we got the water and we can put the two together and we can knock some mildew off for days to come. That's the kind of calls I like to get. I got another call from a brand new member of our church, the Balky family. They usually are sitting right over here at this time, but maybe they'll be here in the next service. But anyway, he was out at the cross. He walked by, he said, Preacher, he said, I noticed those rails on the cross are beginning to rust. And if you don't do something about those rails, he said, they're going to rust and they're going to, you know, they're going to fall out. You're going to have to go get some new ones. And he said, my company, that's what we do. And can I pick those up and can I spray them and put three coats of this and that? And I didn't even know what he was talking about. And I said, yes, 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 yes. Yes, 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 yes. Carl Miller, sat right there Wednesday night. Yes. If you were here, Stuart pointed out to him. Carl Miller, you remember, has spent a lot of time in jail. He's written a book. What you didn't know, the man sitting by him, his name was Brad. Stuart spoke to Brad in the service. That's the first time Brad was ever in church in his life, Christian church. From a background of a cult, and he read the book, and he prayed the little prayer in Carl's book. First time he came. He was out there at dinner. Many of you loved on him. You didn't know who you were loving on. But when he got through, and Stuart got through with his message, they went back out in the parking lot. And Brad said to Carl, he said, would you pray with me one more time? I want to seal the deal that I've invited Jesus Christ to come into my life and into my heart. A man wrote a book, gave it to God, and the man comes to know Jesus as his Savior. That's the giving. I've got a book. I've got a story. I got a spray washer. I got a paint machine. Such as I have. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I unto thee. My voice, my all. Sagemont Church is a giving church. All seats are free. If somebody charged you for your seat this morning, would you please see me? I need to get you a refund, all right? If anybody was selling you a parking ticket when you moved in today, would you please see me? They weren't supposed to be out there. The TV program Living Truth that comes to you, you don't see any begging on there for money or any promise of a seed planting. That is our gift to you. The internet broadcast is our gift to you. The radio broadcast, our gift to you. The child care today, our gift to you. The sermon is a gift. If it isn't worth anything, it didn't cost you anything. So just remember that, all right? The hospital visits that you got, you don't need to send Rex a check or the team a check. The Bible study classes you can go to. The things that the Helping Hands Ministry does. Today's offering will go to 192 countries of the world. On May the 5th, Project 77089, that's the zip code of our community, when we're going to bombard the campuses of the public schools and do what the principal said that we need done, that our budget did not allow us to do it. And our people are going to go on May the 5th and do that on Saturday. The playgrounds of the schools, including the one right across the street, was our gift to them. The teachers' lounges that have been redone in those schools have been our gift to them. The 161 retired ministers or their widows that will receive a check this month. We do that to the glory of God. The Stress in the Ministry Conference that over 1,000 ministers and their wives have been flown to Houston when they were desperate. And God reached out through Dixon and Lois Murrah to those men and women, and their whole life changed in 1 week, and they did not pay one penny for that. Our prison ministries, I could go on until the afternoon telling you that budget you voted is not some selfish, my name is Jimmy, what you're going to give me, but it is something that's going to be used to the uttermost parts of the world, including going to two countries that have never heard the name of Jesus in the coming months. That's what giving is. That's the giving that blesses. When you see not what it did for me, but what it did for others. God gave his life a ransom for who? Amen. many. Who are they? Us. We are the recipients of that. And so, if God gives us breath, we're to use it for His glory. If we love Him, what should we do? Verse 10, Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on Him who they've not believed? And how shall they believe on Him of whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how can they go unless they be sent? Last year, 2018 of you went somewhere and spread the gospel. 2018. As you went, sometimes all, sometimes half of the cost was taken care of by the church to go. How can you go unless you be sent? Gasoline prices are high. Transportation is high. It's expensive to be on television. It's expensive to be on radio. How are you going to do it? We give. Yes. How are those people in those 192 countries going to have services today? They're missionaries there, 10,000 of them abroad, 5,000 of them in our own country. That's because somebody gave. Pastor, as I close, do we have enough money to complete the building? Yes, we do. Do we have enough money to carry out the purpose for which the building was built? No. Well, where's that going to come from? Him. Amen. Well, how's he going to get it here? FedEx? No. He's going to flow it through his kids. Right. Kids that want the gospel to get to the entire world. Yeah. We sat around this week and we talked because we go week by week making sure we never spend one nickel that we don't have. And we're talking about, well, how are we going to tell people? We want to send out 125,000 mail outs to the zip codes that are closest to where most people come to our church. And those 125,000 pieces have cost $25,000. I mean, we need 8 golf carts. You say, oh my gosh, you know, we're going to have a service for golfers? No, but we're going to have carts for the senior adults and those that have special needs. If God will provide them to get people from their cars back to the beautiful drive-in in the senior adult wing, if God provides those. Well, what about the utilities, the maintenance, the insurance? God's going to take care of that. Why? Because we're committed to getting the gospel to the world. Let me tell you a little secret. When you get your envelopes in April, they're going to have another line on them. And every Sunday, people are going to have an opportunity to give to missions, of every penny of it going to the uttermost part of the world in a way that we know how it's being used. You can do that, not just 3 times a year, but anytime you want to. When God blesses you, you can give over and above. And here's what I'm going to promise you. I can't promise you a dollar for every dime. But I can tell you one thing. If you give as the Lord gave His Son, I can promise you a priceless blessing. You will never regret what you gave. Never. If it was given to the glory of God. Never. You'll always say, you know, that's the thing that keeps on and keeps on and keeps on. As I was walking out of my office a while ago, thank you, Fred Flowers. Did you send a brochure over here this week? He's going like this. I just glanced at it just real quickly. It was September 1966. It was our first little brochure that was mailed out in the community. It says on that brochure what the mission statement of this church would be. And this church has not wavered from that in 46 years. And that budget was $33,000 a year. And we only like $3,000 in giving it. And you have just voted a $10,600,000, and you have given over $250 million to the cause of Christ since September of 1966. Where in the world did that money come from? Every good and every perfect gift comes where? Comes down from above. From who? From the Father of Light. Oh, I thought it came from the bank. I thought it came from MasterCard, American Express, Visa. I thought it came from the lottery. I mean, I was waiting on my inheritance, you know. No, God's ready to give it to His kids right now. He's ready to probate His will. So find out what God's up to and get in on it. Let's all stand together.
We pray that today's message has brought you to a closer relationship with Jesus Christ. Join us Sundays at 8, 9:30, and 11 a.m. at Sagemont Church in the Worship Auditorium. For more information, check us out at www.sagemontchurch.org.